go to the fan hotline. Welcome in our pal Shelby Cassesi from WPXI, half of the incomparable duo that was You Like That Horse at one time and still really is the dynasty of fantasy football teams here at Odyssey Pittsburgh. Shelby now with PXI and doing a great job there. Hello, Shelby. How are you? How is the drive home from Latrobe going?
Hello, Horace. I'm doing well, actually, on the turnpike as we speak, heading home. So far, so good.
Are you able to get out in front of the Doppler on your way home tonight?
Let me tell you, the Doppler cleared out pretty quickly. It just so happened that whatever storm blew through just came over Latrobe at the exact wrong moment, at the worst possible time, and then everyone had to clear out. They moved practice into the gym. It was more of a glorified walkthrough today more than anything. So fans, players alike, going to have to wait another day to put the pads on.
This will be I think certainly one used in the anti-Latrobe camp because it didn't rain at all here in Pittsburgh, and it absolutely downpoured in Latrobe at Steelers camp. Shelby, seriously though, what did Mike Tomlin have to say about the interruptions? This is not the first practice this year that has been disrupted by this. Obviously, they do have the synthetic turf field that they can use at times, but you're also fully at the whim of Mother Nature, and I would think that practicing inside of a smaller college's gymnasium is not quite the same as being on four football fields outside.
Yeah, not ideal. And Mike Tomlin was asked about this when we talked to him after practice today. He was asked both about moving practice to the turf. He said that's really not how they wanted to start out the first day of pad, so they got some work done in the modified walkthrough in the gym. But if you recall, last year, Mike Tomlin actually moved practice to the mornings. And how it's kind of structured right now is there's a walkthrough in the morning, they have lunch, and then they go out to practice around 2 o'clock. But last year, they decided to move the actual practice to earlier in the morning. And at the time, Mike Tomlin had said they had too many heat-related health issues, and they just wanted to make things a bit easier on guys' bodies. Well, this year, they moved practice back to that afternoon practice, and he was once again asked about that. And he said, well, it wasn't hot enough last year, so we're moving it back to the afternoon. But part of that is now dealing with that afternoon rain that kind of comes through. And so he was asked if that's a concern, that they've had so many practices interrupted so far. And of course, he's not going to paint with a broad brush, if you will, and wouldn't really relent on talking about moving practice in any other way. So it sounds like things are going to be what they are so far here.
Yeah, when the Doppler gives you red paint, you paint the barn red, so to say.
Yeah, paint the barn red, cut your eyelids off, all that good stuff.
I'm curious, Shelby, what have been your impressions so far of Aaron Rodgers? What have you seen from him on the field, the way that he interacts either with you guys in the media, the way that he interacts with his teammates? What's been your overall impression of Aaron Rodgers? Because, I don't know, it feels like it's a really big story. It's been portrayed as a really big story, but it also feels like it's maybe even a bigger story. There's even a bigger story out there, perhaps, because I feel like it's probably the most important part of their football team, and if they're going to be successful. How's it all look so far with Rodgers?
Sure. So I tried to go into this. I mean, I do this with any player that comes in with an open mind. You know a lot about a guy that's been in the league as long as he has and has been as polarizing of a figure as Aaron Rodgers has been. So I wasn't sure quite what to expect other than the things that I've seen in the national media that everyone else has seen. And so getting to know him a little bit more over the course of the week, it's been pretty evident to me how quickly he has been viewed as a leader by his teammates. I think if you talk to anyone on that offense throughout the course of the mandatory mini camp where he was there, and then especially this first week of camp, his receivers, the guys on the O-line, they're all very eager to talk about what kind of a leader he is. And then talking to him in media availability, hang on one second, I'm getting a phone call. I need to make sure I don't disconnect. Okay, anyways, we're back to it. Talking with him in media availability, he's had these, pretty gregarious meetings with reporters. He's been willing to joke. He's put a smile on. He hasn't taken things too seriously. And I think a really eye-opening moment for me was talking with him and DK Metcalf back-to-back, kind of that fun storyline about them being suite mates up at St. Vincent and kind of the relationship that they're building with each other. So that's sort of the personality aspect of it, is that he seems like, despite being this 41-year-old superstar who's played in the league for a million years, he's not withdrawing from his teammates. He's actively trying to be part of his team, which is encouraging. Now, the on-field stuff, I am someone that doesn't try to read a ton into the football and shorts aspect of training camp. But, I mean, I've seen what everyone else has seen, which is that it's been shaky. I mean, the very first snap of 11-on-11s, it's a pick to Patrick Queen when he's targeting DK Metcalf. He threw a pick to Jalen Ramsey, which was an extremely athletic play by Jalen Ramsey. So it's not been – he's not been fabulous in camp, but I'm not going to sit here and push the panic button because it's just too early for that. I think you have to let guys – work things out in training camp. You have to let them make mistakes before you start to panic a little bit. So I'm not going to sit here and say he's been great, but I'm not willing to, you know, like I said, push the panic button yet.
Talking with Shelby Cassese from WPXI. Shelby, they have not made that move yet for a second wide receiver. Is that still an indication? Is it an indication that they feel like wide receiver two is on the roster right now, or do you feel like maybe they're just playing a bit of a waiting game? And has anybody kind of stepped up in that regard to take on that wide receiver two role?
If the Steelers added another receiver to move into that number two role, I would be stunned before the season starts, to be honest with you. It would surprise me greatly if they continue to make moves. I truly think they're done after a busy offseason making the splash moves. And people within the organization will swear up and down that they have a lot of faith in this receiver room. And I think it's fair to be critical and say, well, what has changed drastically with the receiver room from this year compared to last year? Yeah. And of course, DK Metcalf is an upgrade over George Pickens, but you still have a very similar supporting cast. Of course, they added Jonnu Smith as a tight end, as another pass catcher, but there are a lot of similarities there. But Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin in media availability, they will tell you time and time again how much faith they have in the receiving core behind DK Metcalf. There is actually, I think, a lot of faith riding on Roman Wilson this year. Omar Khan has mentioned him a couple of times. Mike Tomlin has mentioned him a couple of times. They feel he's really had a productive offseason. And even today, I think Mike Tomlin was asked more or less about Roman Wilson and him coming back from his injury. And he's Calvin Austin, who, if you remember, got hurt in his rookie training camp and didn't see the field the entire year and has built a nice career for himself. So they are really putting a lot of faith on Roman Wilson. I know it was a difficult year for him last year. They have an open mind. They have a lot of faith in him. So, you know, I even saw today that the Steelers, the odds makers have the Steelers as one of the top landing spots for a very unhappy Terry McLaurin, one of our yeah, with the Commanders. But that would truly stun me. I really think the Steelers are done adding in a big way. And the hope is that DK Metcalf is who he has shown he is. And some of these guys behind him, like Roman Wilson, step up in a big way. And that the tight ends are utilized more as a pass catcher and not just a tight end.
Broderick Jones, Shelby, I think probably not too many individual players. I mean, Aaron Rodgers certainly will, but not too many individual players will be as under the microscope as Broderick Jones. What are your thoughts on sort of where he stands right now? I know dealing with an injury, but also, you know, it's no secret there's been some not so flattering videos put on social media of Broderick Jones being made into a human turnstile a couple of times on the field at La Trobe. How concerning is it right now? And how concerned should Steeler fans be about the left tackle position and the guy that ultimately is, you know, kind of that biggest line of defense for the blind side of their 41-year-old quarterback?
And again, my training camp philosophy extends to Broderick Jones. Yeah, those videos were far from flattering, but I'm not going to jump to conclusions about a player at this phase if he is dealing with an injury at that time, which he is now. But Mike Tomlin did tell us today that he expects Broderick Jones to practice tomorrow. He expects he should be ready, which is a good sign. I'm not concerned too much yet about the videos, but I am concerned in the sense that this is the year for Broderick Jones. You know, you can make excuses for him the first couple of years. He was a rookie coming in. He was very green when they drafted him. There was a lot of room to grow. Year two, he's not playing on his natural side. He's flipping back and forth. The O-line was dealing with a lot of injury. But now is the time where he has to kind of prove it, or you really encroach on that bust territory when you talk about a guy they traded up for to get in the first round. If he's still making the same mistakes, like the bad holding calls we saw that got him benched last year, if we see him being that turnstile that we've been seeing in these videos, then you're really encroaching on that bust territory, and there's really no excuse left. That's, this left side's going to be his natural side. He's in his third season when these guys you're investing a lot in, like a trade up for a first round pick, really need to make their presence known. So while I'm not going to sit here and be overly concerned about the first 5 days of training camp, I do think he needs to be very reasonably on watch this season, because if he doesn't perform the way he's expected to, then you really start to think about finding a replacement and dealing with the fallout of having a bust first round pick that you traded up for.
Shelby, defensively, we've heard so much over the last couple of years about the word communication. I believe I saw a quote today about communication and how, you know, they feel like they're getting back on track after kind of falling apart in that regard. First of all, I don't understand how late in a season you're not communicating well after you've gone out there and had hundreds of snaps together, but that's neither here nor there. Do they feel like they have been able to solve the communication issues and that will not extend from the end of last year into the beginning of this year?
They do. And again, you can say a lot this time of year and feel confident in a lot. But Josh, I mean, it's such a good question about what you said. How do you deal with these communication issues so late in the year? And I cannot state enough, and everyone saw it with their own eyes, but I cannot state enough just how much that aspect of their game fell apart in those last five games of the season. And it was a question that we asked week in and week out. Why are you guys not communicating? What is going so wrong here that you aren't figuring this out this late in the year? And a lot of guys just didn't have the answers, and or they didn't have an answer that they were willing to tell us on the record, you know? So I think when you look at the changes they've made, you know, it's been a long time since I have seen the Steelers heads and brass this excited about a group of defensive backs. It's just something that Mike Tomlin has talked about numerous times over this short span that we've been with him through training camp, talking about how he thinks the group of defensive backs they have can go man-to-man with any team in the NFL and any receiver in the NFL, and they can move around and they're all versatile. There is so much excitement for that group back there that I think that's one of the reasons why they feel that communication is going to be so drastically improved. You have Patrick Queen here, who's going to be, you know, has had a full year under his belt here in Pittsburgh. I think he has a lot more experience with communicating within this defense. And talking to some of these guys, the optimism is really high, and they seem to really think that the communication issues have been solved just based on some of the changes that have been made.
We'll see if it all plays out that way. Shelby, appreciate it, and let's do it again soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Horse.
All right, Horse, that's Shelby Cassese joining us on the road from Latrobe, Pennsylvania, on her way back from Steelers training camp. A lackluster day at Steelers training camp. I got to say this, too, about the communication thing. We've been hearing for years now the word communication issues, the words communication issues get thrown out there. At what point do you just stink at football? I mean, seriously, I do think that there comes a time where communication issues is just the go-to blame game for we're just not that good of a football team. You know, I don't think football teams are necessarily made or broken on communication alone. Like, it's important. But when you're in the last six games of the year, and yeah, like, I won't deny there were probably communication issues with that team. Were they to the length that they got carved up for 299 rushing yards in a playoff game by the Baltimore Ravens, and Derrick Henry looked like a literal horse galloping through the back of that the back end of that defense? No, I don't think that they were that bad from a communication standpoint. I just think they weren't a very motivated or good football team. Ultimately, that's what it comes down to. But for players, you see, it's easy to blame communication because, well, A, that's not calling out what they are most proud of, and that's their talent, their fitness level, etc. And B, when you say communication issues, it opens it up to that being, A, you're not pointing the finger, but at the same time, you are pointing the finger. And what I mean by that is when you say there's communication issues, ultimately somebody is going to say, well, who's the biggest culprit for the communication issues? Of course, we all know who that has become for last year, and that's Minkah Fitzpatrick. People have labeled Minkah Fitzpatrick as the communication problem on the back end of the Steelers' defense. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. You don't know. Nobody probably knows except for the people that are inside of those walls, because I don't think anybody will actually come out right, you know, fully and say Minkah was screwing this all up for the rest of us. So in a sense, you are finger pointing it away, but you're not finger pointing it away, because communication is a two-way street. So you're ultimately shouldering a little bit of the blame while not shouldering all of the blame. Nobody's coming out and saying, yeah, I was terrible. They're just saying we had communication issues. So not to deviate too much, but I just think sometimes when you hear, and I picked up on this being around the team, when it's like they go out and they look wholly unmotivated. They look like they don't care for half of the snaps. And we saw that, I think, down the stretch last year. I thought we saw a broken football team that had given up on trying or caring about that season. By the time that they got to that Baltimore playoff game, they were done. They were mentally done. They were physically done. They were done. And I heard communication this, communication that, but ultimately I think it was they didn't want to admit that they had quit. They didn't want to admit that they were physically and mentally broken down. So it's just, well, you know, we had a little communication issue here, a little communication there. Thanks to Shelby again for coming on. Appreciate her joining us. In support of the Pittsburgh for PPS Backpack Drive, you can bring brand new backpack. You can bring a brand new backpack to Donaldson's Crossroads inside the Mini Mall on Friday, August 1st from 1 to 2 o'clock. And stop to chat with Adam Crowley of the Fan Morning Show. Help us get students in the Pittsburgh Public Schools ready for the upcoming year. Details at 937thefan.com. There is a, I think, a big, big, big question mark for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And we talked about it with Shelby. I think it's Broderick Jones. If you were to ask me what's the number one issue, and we'll open up the phone lines, 412-928-9370, what's the number one thing you're most concerned about for the Pittsburgh Steelers this year? I think it's natural to say, well, they don't have a wide receiver too. Well, you got a 41-year-old quarterback. Like, those are issues for sure. I think a lot of it centers around the left tackle. Offensive line, not a sexy position, but when you have a dog, you know what, left tackle playing out there, things can go very, very bad very, very quickly. And by bad, I mean you could see Mason Rudolph playing by the second week of the season if Broderick Jones doesn't learn how to stop becoming a human turnstile every single day at practice, because the videos that I have seen have not been kind to the former first-round pick. They got to get that figured out. We'll talk more about that on the other side as well. I want to hear from you as well. What are your biggest worries? What's your biggest worry? I'll tell you a couple more of mine, but I can tell you right now, Broderick Jones, I think, has to be worry number one. And in many ways, I feel like for Steeler fans, he might be becoming public enemy number one as well. He's becoming the whipping boy. And you hate to see it. But somebody was going to become that. Someone had to play that role, right? We always have that player here in Pittsburgh that the fans just turn on and they're against him. He's got to prove people wrong now. So we'll talk more about that when we come back. Curious to hear from you at 412-928-9370. Your biggest concern for this Steelers season, as they tried to practice today in pads for the first time. And Mother Nature said, nuh-uh, ain't going to happen. They'll re-rack it again, try it tomorrow. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We'll take your calls next. I'm Josh Roundtree. This is Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.